morning, TBC. Sorry to grab you away from your conversations, but I feel like the Bible is a good enough excuse to do that. So if you'd like to read along this morning, we're reading from Acts chapter 8, 1 verses 13. Well, 1 to 13. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power, known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed, and he was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw.
Well, what a really meaningful morning so far. I have not recovered from that prayer. I'm still affected, overwhelmed in an incredibly positive way. What a blessing to be on the receiving end of prayers like that. That has stirred my heart and has just been so meaningful. Praise the Lord. And now we just continue as normal. I don't even know how to process that. I'm not feeling as normal. But yeah, what an incredibly meaningful morning, and what a testament to this community in terms of where you've come from and the excitement about where we're going. Look at all the people that are contributing to this service in terms of the different areas that they represent. Look at all the different prayers that, and the heart and the desire and the care for what God does in this place. What a blessing to be here, for this to be our home, for this to be our family. It is just, it's overwhelming in the most positive sense. So thank you for a very, very meaningful morning. Today is actually our last in the You Will Be My Witnesses sermon series. But next week, Toby and Arina are facilitating hosting a panel reflection on our journey through Acts. We've got a bunch of people on there. I think, who have we got? We've got Etienne, and we've got Cam, we've got Anita, we've got Christina, we've got Mary come together to reflect on, you know, the last few weeks journeying through Acts and their own personal journey. So that's next week. That'll be exciting. And so come along for that. But today we continue with Acts 8, and we've already read that, the first part of Acts 8. I'm not sure what you noticed. There's a lot in there. Yeah. Bit of persecution, preaching, signs and wonders, a sorcerer coming to faith. There's a lot going on. What did you see? So last week, Caleb was talking about the death of Stephen, and actually this incredible moment that as he is dying, he forgives his killers. It's just phenomenal. But after the death of Stephen, the persecution and opposition against the church in Jerusalem just escalated rapidly. And so we find actually Saul, he's going around, actually going from house to house, looking for the believers and literally dragging them off and throwing them in jail. At that point, all the believers start to flee Jerusalem to get away from this persecution. They're getting out of there, but as they go, what do? They preach the word wherever they went. And so at first, it looks like this is a disaster for the church as this persecution escalates and people are being thrown in prison. But we start to actually see this expansion and this multiplication that is coming. As the combination of as they are scattered all across the land and continuing to preach the word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ is spreading everywhere as a result. And we see that people are trying to stop the church and what it's doing. But God is using the opposition as an opportunity to actually grow the church. Isn't it phenomenal? The Lord's wisdom, and in all things, God is working for the good of those he loves. And actually, this brought growth and multiplication. What's interesting, that it's not the apostles that are scattered. So I don't know if you noticed that, but the apostles actually stayed in Jerusalem. It was all the other believers that were then scattered, and as they went, they preached, and they were performing signs and wonders. And this is amazing in itself, to notice that in a very short space of time, the early church had multiplied, had prepared and equipped new believers who are now going and making new disciples. Isn't that cool when you think about it? In this short space of time, there's been a multiplication of preparation, and they are now sharing the good news wherever they went. I find that super encouraging when we think about our own journeys. And so let's just take a moment to focus on those disciples that went and were scattered, because God used those disciples to turn the opposition into an opportunity. So why was there such an amazing harvest of all these people coming to faith in Jesus in the midst of this persecution? It's because these believers, these disciples, were ready to do this work. So they had believed in Jesus. They'd been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd been equipped through the early church. And then suddenly, as the scattering was occurring, they were ready to share the good news. And that's exactly what they did as they went. They were ready and they were willing and they did. It's hard not to ask questions of ourselves at that point. Are you ready, like the early church disciples? Are you ready to share the good news of Jesus? Are you ready to do the work that he has for you? Are you willing? After believing in Jesus, we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, we are equipped and strengthened together through fellowship, through prayer, through the teaching of the body of Christ. And then the Lord sends us into places. He gives us tasks. In the case of the early church, they were scattered so that they meet new people, so they can then be the hands and feet of Jesus, so they can share the good news of Jesus that we've received, so that they can then pass that on. Today, I have had, by God's grace, by God's mercy, the absolute blessing of being sent here to serve the Lord with you together. It overwhelms me. This is home. This is our family. But the Lord sends and commissions many servants by his Holy Spirit for the tasks and the work that he does. We don't have to work for the church to be doing God's work. We don't need to actually be involved in having a job of ministry for the Holy Spirit to send us. Amen. And like even in the beginning of Acts, we saw that the Greek and widows were missing out on their food, and they've identified seven people filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they laid hands on them and then commissioned them for the task of handing out the food to the widows. Later in Acts 13, we see an amazing example of how the Holy Spirit identifies people and sends them for the task that they need to do. Let's read together. It's a great example. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. It's a wonderful example of the Holy Spirit giving tasks and sending people out. Where does God need you? Where does the Holy Spirit need you at this season? He's used you here. What has he got for you now? Let's together seek the Lord for each other, for what he has for each of us in the days ahead. Let's seek him today. Let's seek him in the weeks ahead for the work and the tasks that he needs each of us to do. So in Samaria, the disciples encountered a man called Simon who was practicing sorcery, and he was boasting about how great he was. Actually, all the people in Samaria thought he was amazing, and they were proclaiming, yep, he is the great power of God. Sorcery is actually when people are trying to use words and rituals to harness the power of evil spirits. But the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, and then all the people believed in Jesus and then were baptized into his name. And isn't that an amazing testimony to the power of the name of Jesus Christ? That whatever popularity Simon had and whatever power he was demonstrating in that setting, it could not stand up against the power of Jesus Christ in his name. And so all the people there who were following Simon are now following Jesus. And as that good news was preached and whatever power was demonstrated through Philip's message at that point, the man himself, Simon, noticed that, and he then too believed and was baptized. It's an amazing testimony to how the good news can completely change and transform individuals and a community. And we see what happens when people start following Jesus Christ, they stop following other things. So when someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, there's a relocation of your affections and allegiance away from this to Jesus. Amen? And that relocation, that change, can be a whole range of different things. It can be a relocation for, I'm not going to keep following this person, I'm going to follow Jesus. Or it might be, it's a relocation from self-adulation to actually, no, I'm going to follow Christ. Or it could be a relocation from following, you know, false gods, other religions. Or it could be a relocation from a philosophy or thinking that you have adopted. But either way, when someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, it changes the power balance in the room. It changes the power balance in communities, relationships, and organizations, because people stop listening to the other voices and start listening to Jesus Christ. Amen? To follow Jesus means you stop following all the other voices around you. You're listening to him. It means you stop walking the other path. You only care about the narrow path. I follow Jesus, not Simon. I follow Jesus, not me. I follow Jesus, not Buddha. I follow Jesus, not the traditions and rules of men. We see this occurring here in Samaria. Suddenly, there's this total relocation of who they're following. Praise the Lord. That's what we're called to bring into communities and lives. Have you fully surrendered your life to Christ? Or are you still holding on to stuff? Have you got one hand reaching out to Jesus, but you actually haven't let go of some of these other things? Are you following a person in your life? Or are you actually following Jesus Christ? Are you following a way of thinking? Or are you following Jesus? Are you following the rules and traditions of man? Or are you following Jesus? Is Christ the voice of authority in your life? Is he the voice you're listening to? Are you still listening to other voices? Who are you following? So what happens next in this harvest in Samaria as they share the good news and people are coming to faith is quite interesting. So let's read the next chapter. It's not next chapter, the next stage in this journey of sharing the good news. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So the people in Samaria believed in Jesus. They were then baptized into the name of Jesus, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. So when Peter and John turned up, they actually recognized that this was the case, so they then prayed for them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. Now, the scriptures show us that people receive the Holy Spirit in different ways and at different points in their journey. And as we look through Acts so far and further on in the book of Acts, there are lots of different examples of how God moves in this way. So at Pentecost, the believers are waiting, and the Holy Spirit comes on the whole group. They all start speaking in different languages. Later on, Peter is sharing the good news with the Gentile believers. Whole crowd is gathered in the house. In the same way the Holy Spirit comes on them as a whole group, they all start speaking in different languages. Then they all get baptized afterwards. Later on, we see that Jesus sends this man, Ananias, to Saul, who actually we know is Paul, and he is sent there to actually for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit and for his vision to return because he had been blinded. Ananias shows up, prays for Paul to receive the Holy Spirit and for his vision to return. His vision returns, then Paul gets baptized. Later in Acts chapter 19, they discover some believers who'd only received the baptism of John, so they re-baptize them in the name of Jesus, then they prayed for them, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We have already seen what happened in Samaria. And also, if we look at what we've journeyed through through the book of Acts so far in the last few chapters, people are filled with the Holy Spirit more than once, on multiple occasions. As they worship and seek the Lord, God responds to them. As they have different tasks, they are experiencing an infilling and an empowering for the task at hand. And so we start to see that there is an ongoing awareness and ongoing process of being filled and filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered for each task as we walk with Him. So I think it's helpful to think of it like this. Have you ever asked God for His Holy Spirit? If not, then do it. Are you continuing to seek God for His Holy Spirit, for His streams of living water to nourish and empower you in each daily task, like going for the tap to get a drink of water each day, coming to Him for what you need for the day? If you're not seeking Him daily for His presence, His power, and His Spirit, then do it. Have you ever had someone pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit? Maybe for the first time, or maybe just the ongoing journey of praying and fellowshipping together for what you need for each day or each moment. If not, then do it. We're called to actually come into fellowship, to be on the receiving end of each other's prayers and gifts. And it's in that place that we are strengthened and empowered. There are a number of times in my life where I feel like I've got this microphone on my ear and it's jiggling. That's not what I was going to say, but it is. It's caught in my jacket at the back here. Just working on it. Sorted. There are a number of times in my life where God asks me to do something and it's quite clear what He wants me to do, but I can't do it. I lack what is needed. And I'm really aware that I can't do it. I suddenly find myself feeling scared, or I suddenly feel like I don't know what to say, or I suddenly feel like there's practical things that are in the way. And so it's not enough to even just know what God wants you to do. You actually need Him to empower and provide what you lack. And so then your prayers become, Lord, I pray for the faith to do this. Oh, Lord, I really need some encouragement. Lord, I need You to strengthen me for this task. Lord, I don't know what to say. I pray for Your words. And so this ongoing dynamic of seeking Him and seeking Him with others never goes away. If that's not part of your journey, then may this be a place where it becomes part of your journey. Don't get too focused on method and timing. This way. Rather seek His Holy Spirit, His presence, with others, always, every day. If you've never started, start. This is what Jesus said. This is so encouraging. Let's read together. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Ask. Ask in the little things. Ask in the big things. This week I needed some encouragement. And I prayed for some encouragement. Literally got a text message. It's from someone here. And it just brought an encouragement. And it was actually a direct answer to my prayer. The person had no idea about that. And it's like, I need encouragement. The Lord brings it. I had the same thing the second day. I needed something. I needed encouragement. And then it came in through another phone call, actually, at that point. And so all of those little things and those big things, we ask and we will receive, because He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is and knows what's going on in your life, and He can provide and He will, because He cares and He loves us and He wants His kingdom to grow here on earth, and He's chosen to do that through us. So in that place of intimacy and journeying with Him, ask. So then we move on in this journey in Samaria, and it's quite fascinating what happens next. There's quite an interesting interaction with Simon. So we'll read that. We're almost at an end. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that He may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. This is an incredibly interesting moment. We see that Simon had believed and had been baptized, but his heart was not right with the Lord. In fact, we're seeing that instead of chasing after Jesus, he's actually trying to chase after more power. Simon still wants to be the great one. And Peter could see what was happening in his heart, and he calls it out. It's actually a bit of a blunt rebuke, isn't it, in terms of how he responds. Your heart is not right with God. But Simon responds in quite a wonderful way, doesn't he? In humility, he says, can you please intercede and pray for me so that these things don't happen? This is an uncomfortable but important reminder that to follow Jesus is more than words and rituals. It is a reminder that it's possible to participate in God-given rituals, such as baptism, or to say I'm a Christian, yet to still not be right with the Lord. Does that make sense? It's also worth reflecting that the first step of following Jesus is just the first step. There's an expected ongoing heart work that he needs to do in our life. There's a reminder that a decision to follow Jesus on the outside has to become a decision to follow Jesus on the inside. With your lips, who do you follow? But in your heart, who do you follow? Jesus said this, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. With your lips, who do you follow? But with your hands and feet, who do you follow? Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform miracles? Then I'll plainly tell you, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is challenging, but we see this playing out in Samaria. Are you just using the name of Jesus, but actually not following him? Are you just doing Christian things, but not desiring Jesus? Are you following the people around you who are also doing church and Christian things, but not listening to Jesus? What's going on the inside? It has to go beyond the lips to the inner life. The Lord looks at the heart. Jesus talks about people that call on the name of the Lord. He talks about people who are honoring me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It is a heart journey of being close to him, of desiring and seeking him, listening to him, obeying him, being close to Jesus. And that comes on the inside. We see in Samaria that it's exposed in that moment, that the motivations of Simon were not pure. Even though he had believed, even though he had done what everyone else had done and been baptized, there was a work that still needed to happen on the inside. But by God's grace, he exposed that moment and gave him an opportunity to actually step into that place of journeying and walking with the Lord. By God's grace, Simon responded and said, please intercede and pray for me. It has to go deep. It's more than words. It has to overflow from the very inner life where Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, not just with words, not just with practices, but with the fullness of everything. We are in step with the Spirit. We are obeying and following him. What is going on inside you? Do you need someone to pray and intercede for you with the battlefields that you're struggling with? Praise the Lord for community and fellowship. God's design that we come together so that we are purified, strengthened, we become like him as we submit to his ways and we allow the community to minister to each other. Isn't that a blessing? So there's so much good stuff in Acts chapter 8, and we have to acknowledge that our journey through Acts has some challenges. There is so much to kind of contend with and think about in our own personal walks. So let's finish our time together with a time of praising and seeking the Lord together. This is not the only place that it can happen. In our home groups during the week, with our families, with our friends, we can praise, we can pray for each other, we can seek, we can prophesy. But what a blessing that every week we can come together with the wider community to find encouragement, the diversity of all of us coming together under the name of Jesus, that we can benefit from each other's giftings. So there is a blessing in doing this together. So let's seek the Holy Spirit together. Maybe it's the first time for you. Maybe it's just seeking him for what you need today. Let's ask the Lord to search our heart. The other week, we were like, Lord, search my heart. Find any way within me that is offensive to you. Let's pray for each other and ask God to reveal the individual tasks and places he needs us to work at this time. And let's ask the Lord to commission us as a community as we go into the next season of what he's doing. Where is he sending us? Where is the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing this boat? Lord, send us into what you do. There's an individual sending, but there's this corporate journey that we're sharing in together. Lord, send us. So for those of you who have been watching online, thank you again for journeying with us. We value the fact that you're part of this community. We're going to close off our live streaming now. Please join us next week and continue to engage with us. We love the kind of little emails and feedback, and we know and value your connection, even though you're not with us each week.